Hey everyone, welcome to the Revivalist Family Podcast, where we discuss what God's doing on college campuses and the need for prayer, family, and revival.
Hi everyone, welcome to our first official episode on this Revival is Family podcast.
Woo-hoo.
I'm Carol Reynolds and I have the honor of just asking these two great men some questions on the topic of why family. So with us, we have Ty Lam, who directs Luke 18 Project, and we also have Daniel Grenz, and we're just going to dive deeper on this idea of why family. In our launch episode, Ty shares a little bit on the word revival is family and how that impacted his life, how that word came to be. So this one, we're just going to take it a bit deeper, and these guys are going to answer questions and even just share their hearts in how they've been impacted by family and how the topic of spiritual family and natural family, how it shapes them. So Ty, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Well, so the question we're asking today is why family? And we're going to take the next 3 weeks and really talk why family, why prayer, and why revival. And so, you know, as I think about why family, you know, probably the first thing that comes to mind is really the reality that when you look at the biblical narrative, you really see the story of a family. You know, mm-hmm. It's a story of a father, you know, like our Heavenly Father, who has a son. And in their perfect triune family of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they were jealous to express who they were as a loving God. So they created creation, you know, and not only that, they wanted creation to become sons and daughters. And so, you know, the story is about Father, Son, who wanted to adopt creation to become sons and daughters and really a part of his family, co-heirs with his son, you know, so that these sons and daughters would grow up and become mothers and fathers and multiply the family and have more sons and daughters and really express, you know, the glory of the Father and the image of God. And in that his glory would cover the earth, that he would have, you know, a family of affection all over the earth, you know, unto his name and his renown going forth. And really, the end of the story is that the Father is wanting to have a bride for his son and bring together, you know, the bride being the church, really the collective sons and daughters being the bride to marry the son and really to consummate this amazing family, you know, unto the return of his son and then the coming of the Father. And so it's like this really, you know, like wild biblical narrative of a God who has everything but wants a family.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you shared about that. I think it shows, as a Christian, we really are not meant to live in isolation. I mean, you look at one of the first things that God said to Adam was, it's not good for man to be alone. And that goes beyond just marital relationships, but we are not meant to be alone.
Yeah, and I think the longing for every person is a longing for family. I think all of us, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, I think deep down we have this deep innate longing to be a part of a family, you know, to be seen, to be heard, to be valued, to have a place where you belong and a place you call home.
Yeah. No, I love what you're saying about God being a father, God being a son, the triune God being family, and how out of his longing for expression for that, he invites us to be family. And there's something about when you touch that place where you encounter God as Father, where you realize that you're a son or daughter, that the next step, which is just right on the heels of that, is this reach of your heart to connect deeply with others around you in Christian community, in family. I think even the fact that God places us in natural families is representative of what this whole grand narrative of our lives and of existence really is about. When I think about why family, to me, it's like, number one, because God is family. Number two, because us being his family and being brothers and sisters with each other is his chosen vessel to release his heart, to release revival, to release prayer, these topics that we're going to be hitting, to release them into the earth and to bring transformation to the world around us. there's so much that we're going to get into on this topic of family. But one of the first questions after why family that I think of is, what is family? And I would love to hear your thoughts, Ty, as far as how natural family points to what spiritual family could be.
Yeah, I think that there's really this interplay, you know, between, you know, who God is as a father and the triune family. And then, you know, all of us are birthed into a natural family, even if we come from hard and broken families like my own story, you know, like all of us have a mom and a dad, you know, and there is a design for what family would look like, you know, that it'd be, you know, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. And I think that that's supposed to be a reflection of what the church is supposed to be like, that within the reality of spiritual community in a local body in church, that we're meant to have fathers and mothers who love the next generation. And we're supposed to have brothers and sisters where we have just deep love for each other and celebration for each other. And just the realities that we, you know, in spiritual family, that we pursue the Lord together, mm-hmm. that we do life together, you know, like do the hard, the sweet, the painful together, you know, and then that we have the poured out life together where we share, you know, where we're giving of ourselves in service and in ministry, you know, to others, to the world, to those who are hurting. And I think all that starts with natural family. We're supposed to discover that I have three kids who are now 10, almost 9 and 7. And my heart is that in the days of their youth, that we would teach them how to pursue the Lord, and that not isolated, but we would do it as a family. Mm-hmm. And then that as a family of five, you know, my wife, Angela, and our three kids, that we would have lots of fun together and also walk through the hard moments together, and then to be able to serve others together. Mm-hmm. You know, that we would learn those rhythms and disciplines of pursuing Jesus and then pursuing each other, and then pursuing those who are hurting, those who are lost together. And I think that those things naturally translate into spiritual family. It's just those natural rhythms of pursuing Jesus, pursuing each other, and then pursuing others.
Yeah, and I think with this unique moment of history that we're in, where some of us are still under lockdown quarantine, some of us, it started to lift, but having walked through months of being pulled back from face-to-face community has only further emphasized the significance of family. Mm-hmm. I think naturally, a lot of you listening, you've been put in situations where you're around your family more than you're used to, and it reveals just some of that fabric of what family is and what it can mm-hmm. look like. Like Ty said, for me and my family, we have four kids, and really taking this past season to lean into rhythms of pursuing the Lord together. But then I think for spiritual family, recognizing how significant it is for that sense of purpose, especially when things are a bit up in the air, when there's shaking happening as crisis has come, how family provides the courage to walk through these places, knowing that I don't have to figure it out alone, knowing that I don't have to just be in this place of isolation and lean upon myself and my own strength, or even just try and have this be me and God. But that when we find family in a spiritual sense, that there's people that we are committed to, they're committed to us in relationship, in love, in assignment, that we can say, okay, we're hitting this moment right now, but family is the place of victory. It's the place of strength. It's the place of overcoming. Like, I think it's so significant when Jesus said, if two or three of you agree as touching anything on earth, mm-hmm. that you'll receive it from me. Wow. If two or three of you agree and you're gathered in my name. And just that idea that family is rooted upon and around this agreement. And I really believe as we look at spiritual family, we look at the early church in Acts 1 and 2, they've walked through this deep, intense shaking of the one they believed was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, the Messiah being crucified, and then a few days later resurrected, and then he's gone, mm-hmm. and they're just hanging out in this upper room waiting. But it says that they were of one heart, of one mind. Like they were so committed to their relational oneness. They were so committed to leaning into the call of God that they were in one place together. And as we look at the days to come, I feel like this is such a key insight that God is highlighting, even with this family message. Revival is family. It's like everywhere you look, people are talking in the body of Christ on the significance of family, that it's only going to be through family that we're going to see the kingdom of God and his purposes established. So we look at these early chapters in Acts and we see that family is really a commitment to one another, saying that no matter what happens, I'm for you. Mm-hmm. I give my heart to you. I share my life with you. And it's also saying that we are committing ourselves to a prophetic call, to a divine assignment, to witness of who Jesus is. And I think those two overlaying each other are so crucial, because if family is just let's hang out and have a fun time, then it's kind of like, well, where is this all heading?
Yeah.
It's not testifying fully of who God is, because his family purposes are unto something. But if it's only, hey, we're together because we're doing ministry together, it lacks the substance that's going to get us through the hard times. Like when we hit hard times, like, well, we were just in this because we were going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. Let's just do our own thing individual of each yeah. other. And so those two overlaying each other are so crucial, that family is being bound together in relationship, in love and commitment to each other, and being bound together in an assignment from the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, inevitably, I'm sure for those listening, not everyone has a spiritual family they can think of. For some, it may be a painful
totally.
Place that,
yeah.
yes, there's a longing and yes, there's a desire, but it just does not exist right now. What would you guys say to even encourage those in such a position, and what to do, how to cultivate?
Yeah, that's so real. I mean, I'm so grateful that the Lord brought people that pursued me that became family, but mm-hmm. but I think that's a real struggle. I think many people, you know, like attend a church, attend a Sunday worship service, but in their life experience, that's not the people that they really spend, you know, a significant amount of time with
right.
in pursuing the Lord. I mean, I think for many people, honestly, it looks like there's people that they pursue Jesus with, and there's people that they do life with, and there's some people that they do ministry with mm-hmm. if they have opportunity to be involved in. And I think that they're really, you know, like all those require cultivation. You know, I think sometimes we wait for someone else to pursue us mm-hmm. and to really find us. And I think we go to church hoping that we're noticed and that someone, you know, really has a desire to be friends with us and they pursue us. But I think oftentimes, like, it's required of us that we are proactive in pursuing people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard because we don't want to get rejected. And I think in order to have family, it requires a willingness to be vulnerable and a willingness to put ourselves out there sometimes, you know, with the potential to be rejected.
Right.
But I know that if you are persistent in pursuing and persistent in really being a godly friend, you eventually will have godly friends.
Yeah.
And so I think it really is, if you want spiritual family, I think, you know, look around you, find the people around you who yeah. are pursuing Jesus, the people that are provoking you and how they love Jesus. And, mm-hmm. and when you're around them, you feel inspired and you feel moved to want to pursue Jesus more. You know,
yeah.
like you want to find those people and say, hey, can we pray together? Can we just once a week just pray together for 30 minutes, for an hour? Can we just get together and study the Bible together and see what Jesus says about who we are and who he is and how we can love him more? And start small with those who we have around us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, I agree. And I think one of the obstacles that we face when we think about, like you said, being vulnerable and pursuing the people around us is that I would say every one of us has been hurt
mm-hmm.
by relationship, by the attempt to be vulnerable, to put ourselves out there, to pursue connection with somebody. And so I would just encourage those of you listening that if this is a place of challenge where you look at your life and you realize, I don't have a lot of people around me that I consider a spiritual family, that you go on a journey with the Lord and asking him to show you where are those places where relationships hurt, where are those places where you didn't handle it well, you didn't understand how to reconcile with somebody or how to work through issues that came up, and go on a journey of asking God these questions of what is holding me back, what walls are in my heart, what do I need to lay down or let go of, or even who do I need to go and apologize to?
Mm-hmm.
And the significance of, I would say this, I would say the depth of connection you can have in family is built upon both enjoyable times together and reconciliation. Like when you're willing to go to somebody to bring up an issue, no matter if it's on your end where you've done something wrong or on their end where they haven't treated you the way they should have, when you can bring that issue to the surface and the two of you in love and humility repent, forgive each other, the depth of relationship and connection you can have is exponentially greater.
Yes.
And so look at these questions of, God, where am I hurt? Where have I put up walls? Who do I need to reconcile with? And then pursue those things along with, as Ty was saying, look at who's around you. Because I'm convinced that God has placed you in a context where family is possible.
Totally.
And so if you're under this thought that it just can't happen, there's nobody else, I'm alone, you know, kind of that Elijah, Lord, I'm the only one left. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I've got many, many more. Ask him to show you, God, who are the ones and how can I intentionally pursue friendship with them?
Yeah. I really love what you touched on in the reality of the opportunity around conflict. You know, the opportunity around pain, because I think oftentimes it's the pain that chases us away. I think oftentimes we leave churches and we leave spiritual communities because we had a falling out, we had a difference, and we got hurt or we got somehow offended by something that happened in a community. And I think that oftentimes the enemy wants to use those to really create divisions, you know, and really to help isolate you and help you to be divided and to really stay offended and stay hurt. But just the opportunity. I love what you highlighted, because I really think that in those moments, it's a decision point. You either decide to double down and fight for relationships and work through offenses and pains in humility. And when you do, you know, you end up being so much closer to the ones that hurt you as you reconcile and really discover your differences and hear each other's hearts and really find each other. Yeah. Or you run away and you don't deal with the pain. And sometimes you never refine community because it was painful. Yeah. Or you just stay estranged from people that you had just like history and a journey with.
Yeah. And then you realize 10 years, 20 years later that you've spent the last decades alone.
Yeah.
And I look around and I see so many people in their 40s, 50s, 60s that's their story.
Yeah.
Because they didn't understand the need and the significance of working out relationship. I mean, we say, and it's true, revival is family, but just as true is the saying family is messy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's going to be mess.
Yes.
And so I think on the front end, it's even important to go into relationship, whether it's expressed outwardly, I think that's valuable, or if it's just in your heart, making a commitment to say, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to believe the best about this other person or about this community I'm a part of. And when things don't line up, I'm going to ask the questions and allow people's hearts to come out. Because when we can share honestly and openly with one another, that's where the heart connections happen.
Yeah.
And when you were talking just now, I'm thinking of the story of David and Jonathan. And it's like David, when Jonathan's dad, his best friend's dad's trying to kill him, I just imagine there's so many opportunities where the enemy would have come with these accusations about Jonathan's heart towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And David had so many opportunities to run the other way, to leave that relationship. And we don't see this happen, but I'm sure there were conversations of David saying, hey, what's going on with your dad? Like, where are you at in this? Where's your heart at in this?
So
because
real.
You know the prophetic word on my life that I'm king, but you're actually the one who's supposed to be there.
Wow.
And in that moment, the Bible gives us this glimpse where it says that David loved Jonathan as himself and their souls were knit together. And then we see this picture of Jonathan taking off his armor, making himself vulnerable, giving David his weapons, saying, David, I'm entrusting you that if you choose to wound me, I'm going to believe it's in love. And so this invitation to family involves an invitation to the hard conversations.
Yes.
It involves an invitation to say, I'm going to open myself up. I'm going to let you see my weakness. Like, this is so significant to family, is saying, I'm going to reveal my weakness and I'm going to let you speak into that place. And because I believe that you love me and that you're speaking in love and that you're with me and we'll get through this together.
Yeah. What I hear in that is commitment.
Yes.
You know? And I think commitment is kind of a scary thing. You know, Carol, you just got married recently.
Sure.
Congratulations. And you guys are discovering what commitment looks like, that even when things are hard, like we're all married at this table and we all have had conflicts with our spouses, like because we're married and we take marriage seriously and we choose to be committed to our spouse and to family and to marriage, we intentionally work things out. And sometimes it takes a little bit to work through our differences and where we got hurt and our conflicts. And I think sometimes that's what's lost in spiritual community, is that we think of it as a choice. I'm here voluntarily, you know, I'm here because I want to be.
Right.
And if I get hurt or if you hurt me or somehow the church doesn't serve me, I take off because it's not working out for me anymore. You know, this friendship isn't working out for me. And I think in your story with David and Jonathan, you know, I think there was a commitment,
right.
You know, or even, you know, I mean, there's this weighty term called covenant, you know, that God covenants with us because he's a God of faithfulness and promise. And I wonder if, you know, because we treat marriage as a covenant between a man and a wife. What if we treated just the Lord's placing of us in family with just a deep sense that it's covenant? You know, as long as I'm called here, as long as the Lord has spoken to me that I'm part of this church, this community, that I need to treat the people as relationships that are covenantal. That I will be committed as long as the Lord has placed me with these people, that no matter how hard it gets, you know, no matter what comes up through thick and thin, through the trials and ups and downs, I want to work out my stuff with these people because they're brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You know, and if we view the fact that we're all part of this bigger family of God, you know, that it's not just a church family, but we're the one family of God in the earth, that someone else that's a brother and sister in Christ is one that we're stuck with for life, that we are brothers and sisters for life, you know? And if we had that paradigm that everyone around us that follows Jesus is family, you know, that it's a different grid that we can't just dispose of relationships and just move on.
Yeah. It's profound because I feel like we easily can just understand that family is messy. That's like a given.
Right.
And we expect it, we're okay with it. But I think we have developed subconsciously maybe that it shouldn't be that way with spiritual family. Somehow, because we're godly and we're under the banner of God, somehow we should be more perfect, you know? But I think it's starting to unravel. I think we're starting to see that, no, that actually is not totally true. Just because you are all saved does not mean conflicts won't exist. But maybe it means that through the grace of God, with the blood of Jesus, you can actually achieve freedom and breakthrough, you know?
Yeah, and I think if we zoom back out to the big picture of what God is after, he actually uses the messiness of spiritual family to help shape and mold and form us as a collective bride for his son.
Yes.
And he's like, until you make this level of commitment, of covenant, like you're saying, Ty, that there's going to be elements of the journey that are short-circuited, or they're not as full or complete as they could be. And so when I think about spiritual family, I think about, number one, that it needs to be cherished, that we need to have a vision of the significance of it, of how deeply impacting and fulfilling it can be. I think we need to cultivate it where we're pursuing these relationships, these friendships, where we're establishing rhythms together in prayer and worship and fellowship and outreach. And it needs to be guarded, where we're covenanting with each other and we're committing to work through issues that come up in family.
Yeah, so good. You know, I think, you know, just to wrap up, there really is just this reality where the gospel is so, I think the gospel is most real. Oftentimes we think that the gospel is what happens when we get saved, you know, that it's about the cross and repentance and salvation. But I think that the gospel is so real and played out in the context of relationships and family, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the humility of coming to Jesus, I think, is so much the walking out of growing like Jesus, that when we are hurt, we don't run. Mm-hmm. Like when the people of Israel fell short and they sinned against God, God didn't bail on them. He chose to endure and long suffer. And to the same extent that as we learn to love people when it's hard, and when we choose humility and choose repentance, and then when you're the offended one, when you choose to not you know, grow bitter and resentful, and you choose to forgive and you choose to reestablish and reconcile relationships, we're growing in our godliness. We're becoming more like God when He chooses to forgive us. Let me close with the scripture. This is something that, you know, at the beginning of this COVID-19 season, in a time of prayer, Carol shared, and I'll share it. It's Hebrews 10, verse 19. I'll start there. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have found confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, verse 20, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with water, which is the gospel. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So let that be our story, that we look at the example of Jesus, who really, when our lives offended Him out of our sin and our lack of pursuit, He chose to pursue us, and He chose to reconcile with us, and that we would live the gospel out, that we would love the people sometimes that are hard to love, and that would be the catalyst for us to really grow in deeper intimacy and deeper godliness. Thanks, guys, for doing this together. This has been so fun for me, so good for my heart. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Carol, for leading us today. Look forward to being together next time. I think we're going to talk why prayer next time. And so looking forward to being together. Bless you guys.